Good morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. We're going to look especially at verses 14 through 16 today. I'm going to begin by reading Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Listen now to the word of the Lord. And put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for this day that we could open your word, so thankful that we could be gathered with your people and to remember how faithful you have been. We pray, Lord God, that you would work in us to be faithful people. We pray, Lord God, that you would work in us to be a particular kind of congregation, the kind of congregation that matches this text. We know for that to happen, you must be working in us, changing us, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray that we would be eager to hear your word and to submit to your word. So now we're praying for your spirit to accompany your word and to work it into our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're in a sermon series that we're just now finishing up. On joy. We live in a world where everybody wants joy and nobody seems to know where to find it. And then the Bible gives us the answer of where joy can be found. It's found in a right relationship with God. Only in a right relationship with God can joy be found. It's pursued by loving God and walking in obedience to God. The last 2 weeks of this sermon series, last week and this week, has been focusing on our church. If we want to be people of joy, how should we, as a church, interact with each other? What kind of a church should we be? So today we're not only closing a sermon series, we're also celebrating homecoming. Homecoming is a time when we invite friends and family who perhaps once went to church here. We invite them back and we remember the good times that we've had together. We celebrate God's faithfulness together. And we enjoy a good meal. We're glad for all of that. And that's what we're celebrating today. But one, as we're thinking about this, I think it brings up a kind of an important question that I think our text answers. What makes a church worth coming home to? What would make a church the kind of church that you'd want to come back to? Well, some of the reasons why, and I think they're good reasons why, someone might come back to a church is that church is the church where you became a believer. I think that would be a church that you probably want to go back to, a church where you first heard about Jesus, you learned that if you repented of your sins and you trusted in Jesus, you would be saved, and you did. That would be a wonderful church. And it would be a church worth coming back to. A second reason why people might come back to a church or say, that's the kind of church I'd like to come back to, is it's the church where you really grew in the Lord. Perhaps you already learned faith somewhere else, or you learned of faith here at that church, but now you can say, you know what? In the time where the Lord really grew me was in that church. That's the church where I really learned what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's where people really modeled service, where people really modeled humility, or whatever it was that the Lord was doing in your life to help you grow. and you said, I'd love to go back to that church. Third reason why people might want to come back to a church is the church is where you have great memories of fellowship. Not just great memories, but the kind of fellowship that was just so sweet. It was just, people loved each other, and they got along, and maybe you can think of churches where that's happened, or maybe you have a challenge to think about that, but wouldn't that be a wonderful place that you would want to go back to, the kind of church where the fellowship was just great? And I can remember different times in my life where fellowship have just been wonderful at various churches, and I can easily think why people would want to come back to a church like that. Now, I would say of all of these things, these are great reasons, by the way. These are great reasons to want to come back to a church. If any of those things had happened at any church, I think that would be a church that you would certainly want to go back to. What I want to do for these three reasons is I want to turn them into, like, goals for our church. Like, wouldn't it be great if the three things that I just said were also true of our church? So we're going to make these into goals for our church. We're going to make them into goals, and we're going to use our text to help us do this. In order to help us think about what kind of a church that we need to be, and in order to root it in the text, there's two things that I want us to think about in all of these verses we're going to look at. And there are two things that are found in verse 14 and 15, and it's just one word from each of those two verses. Verse 14, the word I want us to focus on is love. The Lord wants us to be a church of love. The Lord wants us to be a church that has been transformed by love. God has loved us, and that should make us loving people. And the Lord also wants us to be a church of peace. That is, through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God, and God wants us to be at peace with each other. Love and peace. I can't imagine anybody would be against a church that was full of love and peace. I imagine that people would say, that sounds like a lovely place, a church of love and peace. And by God's grace, we may be a church of love and peace. These are the things that we want to think about going forward. Again, let's think a little bit about love. God loved us. And what God loving us, what God means for us to do is to love each other. Actually, when we think about love, one helpful thing to think about is as what kind of people are you to be? You're to be a person that loves God. That's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you two are to be a person that loves your neighbor as yourself. That means you love each other. Again, so if you think, what can I do to make this church a great church? Love. And don't just think about loving the person next to you. Love everybody here. And actually, more important than loving everybody here, love God. If you want to be a contributing, helpful to a sweet church, the kind of church that people would love to come back to, kind of church that people would never want to leave, it would be a kind of church where you just totally love God and people know it. And you totally love the other people in this church and everybody knows it. Imagine a church where everybody totally loved Jesus and everybody totally loved each other. Would you ever want to leave a church like that? Now, you can't, I don't want any of you to go beat on the person next to you and say, you need to be that person. Just work on yourself. Just you be the person who is pursuing a sincere love for God, and you be one who just genuinely loves people around you. According to verse 14, love binds everything together. How could we be bound together into the type of community that people would want to join? Just start loving. Loving would bind us all together if we all loved each other. We cannot succeed as a church without loving God and each other. As a matter of fact, if love isn't there, whatever else you do will fail. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says, isn't it? That love chapter of the Bible. If you want to think about this more this afternoon, just get out your Bible, read just the few verses that are in 1 Corinthians 13, and just pray over that. I'll just give you one little verse, but I'm sure you're familiar with this. One little verse. If I give away all I have, that would be a good church. Everybody's giving away all that they have. Yeah, if I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned and I have not love, I gain nothing. whatever else we're doing, if we're going to keep love out of the equation of who we are and how we relate with each other, we're going to be nothing. We're leading to nothing. We're leading nowhere. So the Lord's call on us is to be a church full of love, loving God, loving each other. Second, peace. That's in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. We are to be one body. We have been called into one body. Not many bodies, not subgroups within this congregation, but one body, and we are to be at peace with each other. Each of us, first of all, can be at peace with each other because we're at peace with God. There was lots of things that made me and God not get along. It was mostly my own sin, right? His holiness, me not really wanting his call on my life, me not wanting to do what he would want me to do. I had my own ways that I wanted to do, and the Bible says that I was not at peace with God. As a matter of fact, the wrath of God was upon me. I was in real trouble. And yet God brought peace into my life. He reconciled me to himself through Jesus Christ. And since that bad relationship was made peace, a peaceful relationship, I can have a peaceful relationship with people around me. What we mean by peace is not merely the fact that we're not fighting with each other. We should want to not fight with each other. But peace really is, do you have a heart of compassion for each other? Do you have a real love for each other? Do you want to see other people do well? Or do you secretly celebrate when things don't go well for them? That's not peace. The Lord came to bring peace and bring peace within our congregation. God would be mean for us as a church to do all of our ministries and do all that we do with an emphasis on love and peace. I'm going to look at those three reasons, and then we'll be done. There's just three reasons why, the three reasons why a person would want to come back to a church, and we're going to make those goals for ourselves. Let me remind you of the first one. I could think that people would gladly want to go back to the church where they learned about Jesus. And if people would want to go back to the church where they first learned about Jesus, then let's as a church be the kind of church that teach people about Jesus. Let's be the kind of church that where unbelievers hear the gospel and are saved. I don't know what kind of church you want. I don't know if you had a wish list of what would make your church or any church perfect. But if you don't have on your list, it's the place where people find out about Jesus. It's the place where people repent of their sins and become children of God. If that's not on your list, I'm not even sure that we should that you can have a church if you're not interested in that sort of a thing. We must be people who want the gospel to come from our lips to unbelievers so that people hear the gospel and are saved. That's the way we'll be the kind of church that people will want to come back to. Because we were the church where they first heard about Jesus. And they'll always be praising God that at that church they learned about Jesus. We must never become the church that where people used to find out about Jesus. We need to be the church where people currently are finding out about Jesus. Currently. And it's a corporate effort, right? You can't say, well, then the deacons ought to get busy. No, that's not the way it works. We are all to be disciple making disciples. Every single one of us can share the gospel with our neighbor. Every single one of us can be making efforts to reach our community with the gospel. If we want to be the kind of church that people want to come back to, whatever else we must be the kind of church where people right now are finding out about Jesus. And by God's grace, people right now are hearing it and repenting and being saved. I ask that you join me in praying that we would become that kind of congregation. Type of congregation where people hear the good news, repent of their sins, and are saved. Secondly, I think people would like to come back to a church where they really grew in the Lord. You know, where they'd grown up in church, they'd heard certain things, and then all of a sudden something clicked. They saw somebody who really loved the Lord, and they said, I'd never even met somebody who loved the Lord like this person. Sometimes we say they're on fire for God. We want to be in a church where people find themselves significantly growing in their faith. Not just that they're smarter. I mean, that'll become part of it, right? You need to learn what the Bible says. But that it finally maybe clicked from just being head knowledge to just like, I'm just going to start loving everybody around me. I think Jesus really wants me to stop being so petty and just be easier to get along with. Again, if we think people would like to come back to a church where they really grew in the Lord, then we have to be the church where people are really growing in the Lord. Or nobody will want to come back here. I would say our main motivation, by the way, just as a side note, should not be the kind of church that people want to come back to. The Bible says that we should be the kind of people that are helping each other grow in the Lord. Let me help you see here from this text. Verse 16 is where we mainly see this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Stop there for right now. Teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching means that you speak the truth to each other. Teaching is the kind of information that sometimes is conveyed in a Sunday school lesson or maybe even in a sermon like this. It takes the truth of the Bible and it just explains it to other people. But what I want you to see is, especially as you focus on the words, teaching and admonishing one another, that it's a letter written to Christians telling them that they should be helping other Christians. And again, that means that you can't hire me to teach everybody about the Bible and then nobody else in the church has to worry about helping people know the Bible. It means it's the responsibility of each person here to teach the other people here about the Bible. Now, mind you, I will be one who teaches. But it doesn't remove the responsibility, just like it doesn't remove your responsibility to evangelize, it doesn't remove your responsibility to teach and, as we get to, admonish one another. Part of your responsibility as a member of this church is to talk about the Word of God in such a way that when somebody leaves a conversation, they understand the Word of God more having talked to you than before. That they've been spoken to in a humble and kind way about maybe ways in which they need to be admonished. Admonished, we need to talk about what admonished means. It really means, teaching means just kind of teaching the positive. Admonishing means finding somebody who's kind of like heading in the wrong direction and saying, you know what? You're heading in the wrong direction. You're engaging in sin. You're neglecting to meet regularly with the congregation, or you're engaging in a sin in a way that I see you drifting in your faith. You may say, that's the pastor's job. And I want to tell you that it is my job, but I also want to tell you that according to Colossians 3:16, it's your job. So it's not me making you do my job, it's me helping you see that it is your job. You see? God gave you that job. You might say, well, I don't really like that job. Well, there's lots of jobs you've got that you don't like, but God has given it to you. God has given you the job of teaching each other. God has given you the job of admonishing each other. Teaching and admonishing one another. It's not just here that the Bible talks about this kind of thing. I'll read a few verses from Scripture that shows that this is a common way that the Bible talks about your responsibility as a congregation. In Romans 12, it talks about how we are one body and we all have responsibilities toward each other. And Romans 12, 7 says, he who teaches in his teaching, that's the way that you serve each other. If you're one who teaches, you should encourage and build up the body by your teaching. More clearly, I think a few chapters later, Romans 15, 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers. He's writing to people who are Christians. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Each one of you are able to instruct one another. You can do it. Stop saying, I can't do it. I could never do that. I couldn't really encourage anybody. You can do it. First Thessalonians 5:14, again, written to common believers. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. It's what you should be doing for each other. When somebody is disobedient in the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 3:15 says that you should do this. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Who is to warn him as a brother? The pastor? No. Well, the pastor could, but you warn him as a brother. If somebody's in sin, you could warn them. You may know, and you may not know, people tend to not sin as openly in front of their pastor. Right? They might be over somewhere else, gossiping like crazy. They come up to their pastor like, hey, it's so great to see you this morning, pastor. Right? I didn't see it. If you did, maybe you're the person who's supposed to admonish them. It's your responsibility to help each other grow in the Lord. We have to do this with love, right? Don't become like the person who's so glad to be, you know, the teacher for the day, writing people up for their infractions. In love, in humility, because you care for other people, speak the word to them. Admonish them as humbly as you're able to. Not in a way that comes across as proud or superior to the other person, but as one sinner talking to another sinner saying, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm really concerned about the way that you are doing this. Lastly, a church is a place where you have great memories of fellowship. You know, you remember some sweet times of fellowship and you're like, that's a great place. I'd love to go back to that place. We must become the kind of people who pursue a community of love and peace. We want to be the kind of people that people hate to leave. Because the fellowship is so sweet. Because the people love each other so much. Because people, although they're sinned against, they don't hold it against each other. Because people, when they see somebody else sin, they don't just talk about it behind their back. They come beside them, and there's real concern in their heart as they long to see the person restored, or they long to see the person walk with the Lord. We must become the kind of people that love each other and are at peace with one another. You know, we're people from different backgrounds. Years ago, probably not too many years ago, this church looked a lot different than it does today. Most of the members in the church, so this is based on my reading of the books and talking with people, that most of the people in this church largely came from around here or married into the families around here. There was a relatively narrow geographic pull here. It was just people from this general area, largely. They had family in common. They had the way that they did things was just, they just had so many things in common that That was the dynamic of the church. That was the layout of the church. And then in time, what the Lord has done in this congregation is he's brought in people who aren't from Wake Forest. You've got a pastor from Illinois. You've got people that have come down from the north, from Pennsylvania, from New York, from Maryland. We've got people from England here. We've got somebody from South Africa. People from all over. And you might ask yourself, I wonder if the Lord could make of us one. You know, make of us one body. And I just want to suggest to you that this is not a challenge for the Lord. He is saving people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And there's no reason why he cannot, in this congregation, make of us one people. One of the things that I'm eager for us to, what I'm eager to stop hearing is the kind of talk that basically says, you know, an us and a them way of talking. And who us and them is always based on who's talking at the time, right? It's the young talking about the old, or the people that are around here talking about the people that just moved in here, or however we make these divisions. I just want to suggest to you that as long as we are comfortable to talk about us and them, it's always going to work against we're one body in Christ. I want to suggest to you that God actually means for us to be in churches where we don't have every part of our life in common, and that's our commonality. But he wants us to be in churches where we have so many things that aren't in common, it's hard to imagine how we could have a commonality. But because we all love Jesus Christ, because we're all children of God, the differences don't mind. The cultural differences don't mind. The age differences don't mind. We're all one because we all love Jesus Christ. Don't you long for a church where we all just get along? We don't worry about whether or not how long you've lived somewhere, or how long I've known you, or whether or not you're part of my immediate family. We're all part of the family of God. And the kind of unity that we can have and that God can give us is the kind of unity, again, that can only be explained because God is at work in our hearts, making people from different backgrounds, different, even different nations, all one in Christ. Wouldn't that be a beautiful place? Don't you long for a place like that? I want Stony Hill to be the kind of church that people hate to leave and long to come back to. Again, let me remind you from our text the three things we were talking about, and we're going to join together in praying that God would make us this kind of a congregation. May God make of us the kind of congregation where people in the church are opening their mouths and talking about Jesus to unbelievers so that they hear the gospel and are saved. So may we be evangelistic, every individual. May we all be sharing the gospel so that people can hear about Jesus and be saved. Secondly, may we be the kind of congregation where we all want to see each other grow in the Lord, and we talk to each other about the Lord. We talk in a way tailored to help the other person grow in their faith. And thirdly, may we be the kind of congregation where there's no division, and the only thing that unites us is Jesus Christ, and we allow there to be no divisions, no us versus them, no we and they, but rather we're all one in Christ. This is the kind of congregation that's being described in Colossians chapter 3, and I hope by God's grace it's the kind of congregation that the Lord makes of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your good word. Thank you for the way that your word speaks to us, challenges us, and then paints a beautiful picture about how the gospel totally changes our life. Thank you, Lord God, that we have heard the gospel. We pray, Lord God, that we would be a congregation that proclaims the gospel, that seeks by your help to reach our community with the gospel. Thank you, Lord God, that you brought people into our lives to disciple us and to help us grow in the Lord. We pray that we would be the kind of people that disciple one another, that help each other grow in the Lord, that speak the truth to one another, and when necessary, in all humility, may we admonish one another and correct one another as needed, so that we might be at peace. Lord God, may we not be a congregation where we look at the color of somebody's skin or their age or their background, what part of the country they're from, or even what country they're from at all. But rather just look at each other and just see sinners saved by grace. See adopted sons and daughters everywhere around us, and we love each other. May there be no division. May there only be unity. May there be love and peace, and may it reign in our hearts and in our congregation in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you'd like to speak with me about what we just spoke about, we'll be at the front and we'll sing together, and then we'll quietly pray alone, and then we will close.